Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Pitt fans? Happy 4th of July here on the Pitt Mailbag, brought to you by the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel. I'm Noah Hiles. He's Chris Carter. Chris, we're recording this Monday. Do you have any plans for Independence Day? Doing anything fun?
I'm just chilling at the crib. We're going to eat some good barbecue, going to drink some good beer, and I'm not going to talk sports on a microphone, just to myself.
Hey, I appreciate that. That's good. You going to... What's your favorite sporting event to watch on 4th of July? There's really two to choose from. There's, of course, baseball. And then there's my favorite, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Do you watch that?
Man, I like, if it's on in the background, I'll like peep it and I'll just be like, ugh, can't do that anymore. Like there was a point in my life when I was like in my early 20s where I was like, man, I could do that. But like, by the time I hit 25, I was like, man, those people are sick. I don't know how you do that kind of stuff. I can't, when I watch it, I'm just like, I'm good. I'll turn on baseball.
I think that Joey Chestnut might be the most dominant athlete pound for pound in his sport.
He never loses.
And he breaks the world record every year. I think that's just, it's so impressive. I mean, it's like him or Shohei Ohtani at this point, in my opinion. Yeah. But like, it's pretty close in my opinion. But they don't tune in to hear us talk about Joey Chestnut or Shohei Ohtani. They come to hear us talk about Pitt football, Pitt basketball, all of Pitt athletics, and we're going to do that. We're going to start off with Eileen, who always brings the good questions. She wants to know, and I like this question, what do you hear about Sean Fitzsimmons? Will we see him involved on the defensive line this year? Carter, you can start this off.
I hear good things about Sean Fitzsimmons. I got to be honest, I covered Pitt in 2020. And the way that Pat Narduzzi talked about Sean Fitzsimmons reminds me the way that he talked about Kalijah Kancey. Like, really excited, does a lot of good things, needs to sharpen these things up. I think that he's a big piece of the puzzle that Pitt's got coming with the continuing the dominance of their defensive fronts that they've had over the past several years under Charlie Partridge. I think if him and Ghost, if those two can become a 1-2 punch for the next couple years, man, that could be a problem. But you also still have Elliot Donald who's coming up. They've got a lot of answers potentially on this defensive line, despite losing Kalijah Kancey as a first round pick this year to the Buccaneers. So I think that he's looking pretty good, and I think people should be excited about what Charlie Partridge is going to do again this year.
Yeah, that's always one of the names that comes up when you ask, you know, who are some of the young guys that are impressing in practice. They would talk about him throughout the fall last year, just at random times. And the guy only played, I think, in two games last year. I know he got a sack against Rhode Island. That was his first game he played in. I think he got snaps against Miami. I'm not 100% sure. And I'm not sure if he played in the bowl game or not, but I know he played. He didn't play enough to ruin his red shirt, is what I know. But for a guy who only played in a couple of games, I mean, they brought his name up a lot. It was Narduzzi who would bring him up. It would be Coach Partridge. It would be Randy Bates. It would be offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and you know, at other position groups, you can see there's different players who stand out to different people, but Fitzsimmons is one of the most, I think, most universally brought up names as far as talk about an underclassman who you think is going to be really good. His name is one of the first, if not the first, brought up every single time. So I don't know what we'll see from Sean this year, because you got to remember they still have a ton of experience in that interior defensive line with Bentley, with David Green, with Devin Danielson. You have 3 6-year players at that position. Now, with that being said, Pitt's going to play the most talented guy.
And absolutely.
There have been many examples of older players who get passed up by someone who can help the team win now. And that could happen. And that's nothing against Danielson, Green, or Bentley, who have all been productive players, all guys who helped this team win an ACC championship a couple years ago. But if Fitzsimmons is showing more than he's going to play, I think he'll be in the mix. I don't think we'll see a ton of him early in the season as far as a regular contributor, but I think toward the end of the season, when guys are getting banged up a little bit, or when you have a little bit more time to really prove yourself, I wouldn't be shocked if Sean Fitzsimmons is a starter toward the end of the year.
I could certainly see that. But again, like you said, they've got tons of experience there. Devin Danielson, David Green, DeAndre Jules, Tyler Bentley, all of those guys have been with the team for a while. But again, this is the benefit of what they have at Pitt, is that they keep guys around who are talented, guys who grow in the system naturally. And then behind them, that's where you have Fitzsimmons, Donald, and Neal. So like, the good thing is for Pitt, there's no pressure on those young kids, because I mean, what Fitzsimmons is a redshirt freshman, yeah. Donald's a redshirt sophomore, Isaiah Neal's a straight up freshman. Like, these are all guys that have many years to grow under this program, and if they do grow this year, great, awesome, they're starters and you're killing it. But if they don't, you have four different veterans that you're used to have a rotation right now.
Right, and that's what we've been saying all along as we, you know, move on from this question, is the Pitt defensive line, it's not going to be some star headline group this year. It's going to be a rotation of like 7 or 8 guys who might have different starters, you know, half of the games this season. They're going to have different combinations. You're not going to see many series where they have the same 4 guys lined up front. They're super deep. They don't have a superstar there yet. There are a couple guys who could be. But as of right now, I think it's just going to be an incredibly deep committee that does well up front for the Panthers this year. We'll switch over to the basketball side now. Panther for Life wants to know, Dior Johnson was sentenced to 1 year probation around December 2nd, 2022. Does Pitt expect his current sentence to affect his ability for exhibition games like those in Europe and perhaps the first few games of the season? You know, this is a good question. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know everything there is to know about Dior's legal situation. We covered it. I don't know if he is forced to stay in the state of Pennsylvania, if he has to stay in the United States. I don't know how he's done during his probation, if there's been any other things going on, good or bad. What I do know is they expect him to play. And I don't know if he's going to Europe or not, but I would be pretty surprised if he wasn't with the team come regular season. Is that fair to assume, Chris?
I think that's fair to assume. Also, it should be noted that if you petition the court, you can knock down a probation at some point, especially like a year-long probations. Like, he's served December.
December, so we're on month 7 of it now.
Right. So he served more than half of that time. If they have enough built up respect with the court to see like, hey, he's been a good citizen, he's been a good kid, he's been in college doing his thing, he stayed out of trouble, you know, we petition the court to lower his probation so that he can get back to playing, he can do this thing that he came to the city for in the first place. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility, but you're right, we don't know that the exact terms of everything with his case and whether or not he can leave the country or the state or whatever, but I anticipate that they'll find a way to work it out. This guy is a really talented basketball player who the program is brought in with a lot of hope to fix things up. And there's a lot of space for him to be that playmaker for the Panthers this year. So it could get in the way early. We saw, you know, we saw Ithiel Horton, recently, just a couple years back, you know, have his stint with the police and, you know, him being in and out and then in again for the Panthers. But I think Dior Johnson's situation will have worked itself out so that he'll be available for the early part of the season.
Absolutely. We'll move on now. And this is a really good one I like from Dennis. Is it fair to say Pitt football's 2024 recruiting class has hit a wall? It feels like they've really lost some momentum in the past weeks. Dennis, for context, when he says hit a wall, here are some things that have happened against Pitt.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
In the late weeks of June. On June 23rd, Chasen Johnson, guy who had previously verbally committed to Pitt, decommits and then commits to Central Florida the same day. So they lose a verbal commitment, their first loss. That's going to happen. And he's just a three-star, no big deal. But the thing that stands out to me here, they've had three different four-stars in the past week commit elsewhere. Coy Beasley committed to Purdue, I believe, on Thursday. Dominic Kirks committed to Washington this weekend. That's a four-star defensive end. And Taron Nichols committed to Kentucky on Sunday. So you have those. You miss out on three four-stars that all had you in their final 3 to 5 teams in the mix. All of these guys made official visits. And another guy they miss out on is Henry Hasselbeck, a guy that we've talked about a lot on this mailbag. Someone who was verbally committed to play lacrosse at Maryland. And I foolishly said, I thought if he was going to end up playing quarterback, he'd come down to Pitt or Boston College. Well, he picked neither one of those schools. He's going to Michigan State. So they miss out on one of their top quarterback guys they're going after. They miss out on three four-stars with the potential to miss out on another one Monday evening. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. Elias Rudolph is committing Monday evening. He's a four-star defensive end. I believe his final schools are like Pitt, Michigan, and Miami. Carter, I think it is a fair claim to make that they are hitting a little bit of a wall where it was good to see them. If you're a Pitt fan, you know, you are happy to see them get all those big verbal commits in early June. Because if you think about it, they have 3 4-stars committed right now. Only one of those guys committed in June. They've had 2 4-stars committed for a while. I think Whittington committed
last year.
Yeah. And Farmer committed on Christmas Day. So they've only had 1 4-star commit in the year of 2023. And while, yes, it's good to load your class with a lot of 3-stars, and I think some of those 3-stars that have verbally committed will eventually be 4-stars. I think Holmes will be a 4-star, the offensive lineman. I think Jeremiah, the linebacker from Miami, will end up probably being a 4-star. He's a 4-star on another recruiting site, I believe. But you now that you had that foundation, the end of June, early July, this was going to be the month where Pitt's class really solidified itself as a legitimate top 25 recruiting class. And when you're losing guys to Purdue and Kentucky and Washington, who, sure, these programs have had some success. Washington was in the playoff. Kentucky's played in power, or, you know, New Year's Six bowl games, and it's in the SEC. I just, you know, you can lose one of these guys to those programs, but I think all three, that's tough. I think the Panthers were hoping to get at least one of those three guys, and same for Hasselbeck. It's just a lot of L's after a lot of dubs earlier in the month.
I also think there's some temperament that needs to be taken by Pitt fans, is that, you know, I think there was a lot of excitement in June when there was a lot of, you know, 3-stars and you got another 4-star and you were getting high up in the rankings there in the top 10. But this is part of what we talked about would happen, is eventually other teams will start to sign big name players or get big name verbal commits, excuse me. And that will drop them back down out of the rankings. And I believe as it stands right now, they're ranked 17th according to Rivals right now with their current 2024 class of 20 commitments here. But I think some of this has to be taken in, you know, with balancing things out. Like, this is still a strong recruiting class for Pitt. Has it hit a wall? Sure, but I think it's a natural wall after they've brought in a lot of names now. And this is part of the balancing act that you do when you're recruiting guys, because you're recruiting a lot of different positions. They have, you know, a lot of defensive backs, a lot of defensive linemen. Some of those guys might see that and say, like, you know what? I look at this list of commits and I look at the guys that are already on the roster. maybe I'm not going to make as much of a dent here. So I'm going to go over here where they have a spot lined up for me with how that's supposed to play out. There's a lot of games that get played at this time of the year, but I think Pitt fans have to remember that Pitt is still trying to grow into being a consistent program that wins 9+ wins every year. They've only done that for 2 straight years now, and that's something that is to be celebrated. And I think it is helping with them with some of the Whipple recruits and some of the guys that they have brought in, but they're still not this top tier program that's going to keep winning recruiting battles left and right. They still need to produce after that. Now, if they keep this up for another 2 years, and when the college football playoffs get expanded, they sneak in as one of those teams, then I think we could start seeing maybe some more battles like this winning out longer on. But I think like right now, it's kind of to be expected that some of the things would cool down in the recruitment period, because this has been such a busy recruitment period for them. They've gotten all these commitments, and I still think they'll get some more. But, I mean, yes, they hit a wall, but I don't think it's a wall that's like, you know, it's not like a wall that says they're slacking or they're not doing well. It's just, I think, a natural wall that comes at this point of the recruitment process for a program like Pitt right now.
Yeah, and I think to build off your point, while they were ranked at one point in time in the top 10 in the country, we've tried to say numerous times, this is not a top 10 recruiting class. It's not. Mm-hmm. No matter how some outlets act like every kid that verbally commits to Pitt is going to be the next Kenny Pickett or Kalijah Kansi, we don't do that. It's just the truth. It's, you know, these are 3-star guys, a lot of them. And while some of them, yes, they have upside, they're picking Pitt over programs similar to Pitt. You know, they're not picking Pitt over Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, places like that. When Pitt starts getting those guys, when you look in their top five and they have a Penn State, a Michigan and stuff like that, those are notable wins, in my opinion. And there are chances that Pitt still has to get these guys. There are still, to my count, 5 different 4-stars who I think Pitt is in the mix for. At least 3 of them have their recruitment dates announced. Elias Rudolph, like I said, is committing Monday night. Personally, I don't expect Elias Rudolph to verbally commit to Pitt. I think he's going to end up going to Michigan. Others have predicted that as well. I'll be a bit surprised if he does, but I think Pitt's probably second on his list, so maybe I'm wrong there. Nick Marsh commits at the end of the week. He's a 4-star receiver. I don't see Pitt landing him. I know he's in the, but Pitt's in the mix for that. Malachi Williams, a defensive end, commits Saturday, 4-star guy. I think he's going to end up going to Penn State. He made an official visit to Pitt, but Penn State's always kind of looked like his front runner school for him. I'd be shocked if he didn't end up at Penn State. But there are some other 4-stars where I think Pitt is the front runner right now. I think Yasin Williams, that running back from New Jersey we've talked about, he's crystal balled by 247 Sports to go to Pitt. He's the number one player in the state of New Jersey. He's a top 200 player, I think, in the country. That would be an enormous win if Pitt could solidify him and get a verbal from him and sign him. A 4-star running back behind this offensive line and this offense would be a huge, huge get for the Panthers. And another guy I think that he hasn't verbally committed yet, but I think if you've been following along with his commitment, it's pretty clear that Pitt is a very far front runner for him, is Sincere Edwards, the kid who decommitted from UCF last month, a day before his official visit to Pitt. And while he was on campus, Charlie Partridge tweeted something, yeah. And all the kid has posted to his social media is pictures of him in a Pitt uniform since that official visit. I think it's pretty clear where he's leaning right now. Now, granted, mm-hmm. he could change his mind. With NIL, someone could come in and say, our all collective can stuff. Give you more. There's a lot of different things that can change. But with these 5 4-stars that Pitt's still in the mix for, just off the top of my head, these 5, I think Pitt has a really good shot at getting 2, if not 3 of them. And if that happens, then yeah, this is a legitimate recruiting class. I think 5 4-stars is the most Narduzzi's had in his time here. So if this class can get more than 5, and it's, you know, it's on its way there, it's legit. It's a really, really good class. It's we've always said it's on its way to being good right now, but it needed to land the big dogs. Getting Cameron Lindsay last month was one of those moments. And I think there are more guys to come. It's just you can't consistently lose out to programs that you're better than. And I think losing out to a program like Purdue is a tough blow. Losing out to, you know, other programs like that, having guys decommit and go to UCF, it's tough. You can't have that. But like Chris said, like I've said, it's a long thing. You're going to have ups and downs. I still expect some good moments to come from this group. But again, there's probably going to be some more tough moments to come as well. We could see another decommitment. We could see guys change their mind and just totally do a 180. It wouldn't be the first time it happened. It won't be the last. So it's fair to say it's hit a wall, but it was never as great as a lot of people thought it was. It was never as bad. It's currently not as bad as a lot of people think it is. It's just recruiting. That's just how it goes. We'll move on now. Joseph wants to know, who's a local player that Pitt fans need to keep an eye on this fall? Someone who isn't committed to Pitt, but is receiving interest from the program. I'm going to start off here, Chris, because I think as time goes on, this guy's looking more and more important to the Panthers. I think it's Julian Duggar from Penn Hills, the three-star quarterback. He doesn't have a ton of offers. If you look at it, I think he has Pitt, UMass, and Toledo right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if when we get into the fall, if he picks something up from the other local, some Power 5 thing. I bet you West Virginia will probably offer him and some other local ones, maybe like a Cincinnati or something like that. He'll probably get some more MAC schools as well. But this is a guy, I think they're not going to want to go another year without, I mean, they had Diefenbach in this last class and everything, but I think they want another quarterback. They don't want to have to go without getting a three-star in this class. And if Trevor Jackson doesn't commit, which I still think he probably will, but if they don't miss out on him, I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on Duggar. And Duggar's a guy who, yeah, like we've mentioned, he hasn't got a ton of attention, but I know he really impressed some people at a passing camp at Pitt last month. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that he's another local guy, I don't know. I could see it happening. You have anyone else on your mind, Chris?
Duggar was the one guy I was looking at the most here, just for the Penn Hills connection, for what he's been able to do there. And you know, I've called some of his highlights on Channel 11, so yeah. I recognize the name there. But I mean, you look at the potential here for what Pitt's doing. I agree. As far as the interest that we've seen, as far as what's been tallied so far, West Virginia being the other local school that we haven't seen Penn State get into this mix just yet. If it's Pitt and West Virginia, maybe this comes down to, who sells him the best over the next several months. And that could involve the backyard brawl being a factor here. Yeah. The backyard brawl won over some guys to come to Pitt last year with their win. And some people saying, like, you know, some of those players saying, like, that was the best environment I've ever seen for a football game with the way that MJ Devonshire had his pick six in the fourth quarter and the explosion that we saw at Acrisure Stadium. But if West Virginia gets a win like that, and let's say Julian Duggar's visiting visiting at that point in time, maybe he can get swelled by that. But if Pitt's able to steal one there, I think something like that could play into it. And this is thinking down the line, but Duggar is another guy that can fit this profile. But you're right, Pitt needs to find their new young quarterback for the future. I think Christian Veyer is the next in line for Phil right now. But right now, Ty Diefenbach is going to be developing, but they need to have multiple options, because if you just bank on one guy, you're going to be back in the portal probably again at some point, and then you're going to be looking for that. But you want to have a guy that you develop. That's what they had with Kenny Pickett. He became their starter at a young age, and he grew. You're not going to have that too often, where a guy's going to start as a freshman and then just work his way up over the years. But I think they would like to have a guy who's in their system, develops in their culture, and becomes a starter. And if Duggar can be a part of it, can be another candidate to be like that, they should make every effort to get him. I don't know if they will, but it will certainly be an interesting story to follow over the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, Duggar's the main guy, I think, in the area for the 2024 class. But if you want to look at other guys aside from that, you know, someone who isn't a senior and has a couple more years, I mean, we talked about Tyke Hayes from Aliquippa, the running back. He's certainly someone you want to keep an eye on. Pitt has two guys at Central Catholic right now that are younger guys who have offers, Bradley Gompers and Colson Gatton. Those are two underclassmen right there. Linebackers, one of them might play tight end, but I think they'll probably both be linebackers at the next level. And, I mean, that Central Catholic team's loaded with talent, so there's a lot to watch there if you're a Pitt fan. O'Hara, the receiver from North Catholic. He's really talented. I know Pitt's interested in him. So there are more than a few guys. There's a kid at Westinghouse I know that has a Pitt offer right now. Larry Moon, the third from Aliquippa, hasn't even played a high school football game right now just yet, and he already has an offer from Pitt. So there are a lot of underclassmen that I think in a couple of years this class of what would be like 26 maybe or 27, mm-hmm. we're going to see probably what that's going to be one of the more talented classes I think the Whitfields had in the last decade or so. And I think Pitt's going to be in the mix for a lot of those guys. So start watching, you know, the powerhouses, the Aliquippas, the Central Catholics, the maybe the North Alleghenies, the Thomas Jeffersons, the McKeesports, if you will, Central Valleys. You'll see some guys, and they're young right now, but there's some future Panthers on those rosters, I believe.
Yeah, Kyshawn Robinson, the kid out of Westinghouse, you mentioned yes. there, one of those guys that could very much be that. There's always talent in Western PA, and I think the biggest thing, like we've been talking about for the past year or so, can they consistently win some of those Western PA recruiting battles with the higher talented guys that come out of here?
Robinson's going to be fun to watch. I saw he just picked up a Florida offer the other day. When's the last time you saw a City League guy get an SEC offers? I mean, that's a big time, mm-hmm. big time thing for him. So he's pretty young. Jason, final question, wants to know, with less than a month away from training camp, what are some position battles we anticipate when camp arrives? I like this question, Carter. I think there's a couple clear ones. Which one do you have your eye on the most?
I want to see what happens at edge, because we know Deion Hayes is the top dog. We're excited about Nakai Johnson, but Bam Brimma isn't going to give that up, and he's a redshirt senior who's been waiting for this opportunity. But also, Samuel Okunlola has really came on last year, and Nate Temple's another redshirt senior. There's only so many snaps that can go around, and we know that Pitt loves to use their rotation a lot, so I mean, guys are going to get their opportunities. But who earns the starting position? Who gets the key snaps when the first defense is out there? That's when I'm going to be curious about as far as this edge position, because we talked about how at defensive tackle, Devin Danielson and David Green are kind of your top guys. They're kind of like penciled in there right now, and I think that they're pretty close to being like penned in there or sharpied in there as starters with Fitzsimmons and Donald and guys behind them. But I really think outside of Deion Hayes, it is anything could go at edge right now. So that's one key position I have my eyes on. What about you?
I'm looking at safety. I just think both of those safety spots, I think there are four, if not five guys, I think that are really battling for those positions right now. PJ O'Brien was the star of the spring. He was the MVP, I think, of the spring game. He had the pick six that won the defense the game. Javon McIntyre is someone they're clearly high on who made some mm-hmm. big plays late in the season last year as a redshirt freshman. But I mean, Donovan McMillan came in here from Florida and he didn't come here to sit the bench. I think that he's, yeah, they like him a lot. They like Stephon Hall a lot, a kid out of Central Valley. There is a lot that safety position has to offer after replacing two guys who were all ACC honorees last year and two guys who were drafted into the National Football League. They might have more talent in that safety room this year than they did last year. And it's just going to come down to finding the two best guys who can play that position. I think discipline is going to be a big part of it, where you have a lot of raw talent, but who can stay home and make the smart football plays. And that's going to be something that's really interesting to me, because I don't know if that position battle is going to be settled by camp. I think that's going to be a week to week thing where, like I said, with the defensive line, we might see guys starting different guys starting week to week there, just based on matchups maybe, or based off of other things. That could be a really entertaining thing to watch. Also, that third linebacker spot between Brandon George and Solomon DeShields, I think, could be something interesting. Offense, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot to battle for right now. It feels like the entire starting offense.
Kind of set.
Yeah, you know, maybe like Branson Taylor battling Ryan Bear or somebody on the for the last tackle spot, depending what they want to do. But for the most part, I think there's going to be a couple defensive position battles, but overall, they're looking pretty set when it comes to this upcoming season, which is going to be interesting, because I feel like there were a little bit more in the battle department last year for certain spots. So
I'll add this to the pile. Who comes off the bench first for the cornerbacks? Because typically you look at MJ Devonshire, Marcus Williams, and AJ Woods, but can Rylan Gandy get in the mix there? Rashad battles back from his injury. I want to see who kind of picks up there, because Ryland Gandy was getting a lot of hype from Pat Narduzzi and the coaches last year as far as just coming in as a freshman, being a track star, and fitting in there. I want to see how he takes this next step, because if he's able to, let's say some guy gets hurt, things happen, and someone gets a chance to start. Is it him? Is it Battle? Is it someone out there? And if there's battles for a spot there, that's something I'd be really interested to see, because I think Rashad Battle has a lot of potential, but I also think so does Ryland Gandy. And I want to see who wins out in that battle as far as who fits their corner.
And that's an important, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's an important, you could call it the third, fourth corner, whatever, because next year, those three guys who have basically represented that position for the last 3 years at Pitt, they're gone. And you don't want to have an entirely new cornerback position, especially on this defense. Mm-hmm. So guys like Gandy, guys like Battle, there's others as well. It's important to get them reps against legitimate, you know, starting receivers from opponents. It's good to go up against ones in practice, and it's good to get them in when you have a comfortable lead and stuff. And I understand that Quez and MJ and Woods, that trio is probably the maybe top three trios in the ACC, and that's being modest. But yeah, you've got to look a little bit past this year if you're Pitt on that secondary. And that's an important one. I'm glad you brought that up. Carter, any other final thoughts?
Just I hope everyone is good, had a happy 4th of July, and that everyone's enjoying their long weekend and stayed safe out there. We only got a few more weeks until training camp comes around, and then it will be in time to get busy again with stuff here at Pitt. So I still think, like we said, there's still more to come in the recruiting battles, and some of those recruiting battles will get resolved in the fall. So don't forget that those type of things happen. But stay tuned. We'll still be covering it wall to wall here at the Post Gazette.
Absolutely. We'll have it all covered both online and in the paper, and of course on this YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and keep tuning in to the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you liked the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed it on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down in the description.